You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 7 February, we've got U.S. unemployment data this afternoon. Expected no change at 4.1%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Audrey McGuinchu from Momentum. Updates from Kumba, Anglo Platinum and DRD. It's a mixed bag. Chatting with Derek Msebi from Stanlib. He's the CEO there. Changing face of managing money. And I want to touch around the grey listing. We forget we're on that grey list. Can we get off it? That's the big question. Thoughts for me on managing your portfolio in the era of Trump volatility. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Ramaphosa hints at permanent income grant in SONA 2025. His remarks correspond with the ANC's earlier pronouncements on the matter. Business Day, Anglo faces second De Beers write-down. Diamond business, which is for sale, has been hit hard by declining demand, especially from China. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ 0.5% higher. Over in East, it's mostly green. Sydney up 0.2%, Tokyo is the red, down 0.4%, Hong Kong's up 1.4%, Tencent up 1.9%. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures green, 2,889. Brent is red, 74.68. Platinum green at 1,027. Palladium red at 996. The rand is 18.42. Bitcoin 97,400. Top 40 opening call, a green open, 620 points, 0.8%. That'll put us at all-time highs.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Audrey McGuinchu from Momentum. Audrey, appreciate the early morning time. Let's start with the lovely DRD, Roodepoort Deep. I mean, they really are doing the update. What you're supposed to do in this environment, when the metal, the commodity that you mine is running, you take that profit and or that income, and you keep a foot on the costs, and suddenly your HEPS just explodes upwards. I mean, this is classic leverage in a commodity miner.
Oh, most definitely. As you're saying, you know, the gold price has been soaring all-time high after all-time high. And right now, they definitely benefited from that. Also increasing in sales numbers, trying to double down on that high price that they're receiving right now. We also had a weaker rand for a while. Yep. And that also benefited them as well. So, I mean, all around, stars aligned, everything's good.
Yeah, and to creative management, I mean, stars aligned, but they needed to make it work, as opposed to perhaps some of the others. Kumba Iron Ore, I mean, a lot of moving parts here. They got slightly weaker prices. They've got some logistic issues. There was the sort of annual close on that line to Saldanha, but there were some derailments. This is a two-part story, I suspect. Again, management doing what they can, pricing not helping, and Transnet not helping.
Most definitely. I think it's quite unfortunate to see, as you said, right, despite having a planned outage, there's that derailment that also slowed them down. So even if you are producing, you can't take the product out, meaning drop in sales, which they had at 6%. Now, this all results in almost 50% in headline earnings per share, which is quite unfortunate for the management team.
That is leverage in the inverse effect. The number that also really struck me, they said they had closing finished stock at about 7.5 million tons. They sold about 9.1 million tons. If they had the railway lines, if Transnet starts to improve, and there's lots of question marks around that, but if things start working on that line, they can suddenly turn things around, but we need to keep an eye on those trains.
Oh, most definitely. If you still have some stock, some product, but you have to get it out of the yard. So we're waiting for that with Transnet holding terms that works out. However, again, we are waiting also for the oil price to play in favor with that. Unfortunately, right now, that commodity super cycle we saw 2 years ago, it's at the bottom.
Yeah, it is super cycling downward. Anglo-American Platinum, same story here. They, of course, don't have problems with trains because it's PGMs. You can pop it in your pocket and fly it out. But it was primarily a 13% decline in ZAR PGM prices. That's most notably palladium and rhodium. Again, just a super cycle that in this case is right at the bottom of that cycle.
That's correct. I mean, the platinum miners all around have just been in a horrible situation right now. And as you said, palladium prices have palladium and rhodium prices have gone down. Mm-hmm. Mainly also on that front, if we look outside, demand is just not there. VW, very low sales now right now. BMW, Mercedes, that's just telling you that internal combustion engines are not being built at the volume that, you know, traditionally are. That then also then reduces the demand. That's why the platinum price, palladium, platinum, rhodium prices are down so much.
Iron ore, the PGMs, I mean, we talked there, they're at the bottom of the cycle. I mean, my sense is we don't get clever here. We wait to see evidence of prices turning because they've been at these depressed levels for a year, maybe longer. Then we don't jump until we see the evidence first. Is that a fair shout?
That is how I would go about it. I think, I mean, we can always predict that it's going to, this is the bottom, this is the bottom, but there's always more downside. You're just catching a knife, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
So you want to, likely they, a lot of these miners are cash heavy. Mm-hmm. Their balance sheets tend to be okay. So they can weather these storms. So let's wait until things turn around. And likely with the Sona today, we heard that we are looking at putting in $900 billion for the next 2 years in infrastructure. Might save one of the commodities. But again, everyone right now is nationalistic as well. So they're looking to renew or build on the infrastructure.
Yeah.
So that could be in our favor in the long run.
Last question is the one commodity doing excellently well is gold. At these elevated all-time high levels, still bullish on gold?
Yes. The one thing that's helping gold right now is uncertainty, and there's never been more uncertainty than the last 3 weeks.
You are spot on. It's been a wild 3 weeks. Gold likes that. Gold is going higher, and the likes of DRD are absolutely making that happen. We'll leave it there. That's Odwa Mgwenshu from Momentum. Odwa, always appreciate the early morning insights. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Derek Mcebe. He is the Stanlib CEO. Derek, appreciate the time again. I want to start off looking back at 2024 and ask a wide question, but I'm keen to get your take on it. What surprised you about markets last year?
One, I was surprised by the exceptionalism of the American market.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised by the hype around AI and just technology in general. Thirdly, I was surprised by the climb back from issues relating to sustainability and climate change in the developed world. And then fourthly, I think the geopolitics and the changes in various governments and the impact of that, that's going to have on markets in 2025. With half of the world population going to elections last year,
mm-hmm.
we should be expecting that in 2025, we will expect a play out of the choices that the politics have made in terms of the world economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch on some of those points. Technology, I mean, Stanlib is an investment house, but I imagine at the heart of it, there must be a lot of tech. What sort of innovations are you seeing most useful for yourself and your team at Stanlib?
Our focus is actually one, making sure that from a customer experience point of view, we are able to get our customers to transact with us digitally and in a frictionless way. The second one is, how do we become more efficient? The industry is under pressure from a fee point of view. That means that the cost to serve our customers has to be reducing, and therefore completely replatforming our operations environment and implementing the best and affordable technology that's available to us is absolutely critical to us, because we want to allow our investment people to spend a lot more time doing the human part of investing rather than the stuff that the machine is going to do. I have no doubt in my view that in areas where the machine is stronger, the machine is going to win. But there are areas where the machine is never going to be able to replicate what the human can do. And we want to amplify the areas where our investment people can spend time on, which have got the human element, because we believe that's where the edge will actually come from.
I take your point on that. You mentioned in the first answer around the exceptionalism of the American market, second year in a row of plus 20% returns. In what ways do you think the current investment landscape is perhaps shaping performance metrics that investors are prioritizing these days?
Look, I think investment clients are always are looking for one thing. Whether they ever get it is another story. They're always looking for the best return with the lowest risk.
Yeah,
that's what they want. But often those two don't actually come together. So my view is that I think there's still going to be a lot of demand for clients to get exposure to hard currencies. The offshore trend, as much as it looks like people are at their limit, they're still going to be exploring different markets in the international world. I think the interesting part will be, historically, when we're spoken about offshore, we've always looked at equities. But, you know, there's bonds, there's private credit, et cetera, et cetera. There's international real estate. I'm expecting that clients are going to start experimenting with a number of those other asset classes as well, as opposed to what they've had historically. And the final one would be, I don't know how clients are going to de-risk themselves from the exposure to the U.S. market. The U.S. market is looking incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And it's actually overweight in terms of the MSCI. And so I think if you are a smart investor, you would be looking at, how do I manage the downside exposure to the U.S. market? How do I get some diversification and take some of the profits that you've made from being exposed to the U.S. market? I think that's going to be a very interesting call on how portfolio managers actually execute on that on behalf of their customers.
Absolutely. And I agree 100% with the U.S. market, the expensiveness and the overweight. But as you're mentioning the options there, I'm thinking back sort of 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, my investment was JSE and then maybe a bit of offshore. The range for the investor is just humongous, which is great, but also perhaps challenging because, you know, again, we need the skill sets of advisors and asset managers to help us navigate, truthfully, the complexity in range.
Yeah, look, the bad message for investors is that the complexity will only increase. It's not going to get less. So that's the tough part. At the same time, I think investors need to be humble enough to acknowledge that they need help. And therefore, the value of advice, in my view, could become one of the most important differentiators between investment success and failure. And therefore, if I was starting out today on my investment journey, I wouldn't back myself to be able to do it on my own. I would be looking for a very good advisor, at least to work out a plan for me on how I should be navigating a very complex investment landscape.
Yeah, 100%. And currently a complex investment world. You mentioned the elections last year. Of course, President Trump has come in the last couple of weeks, very much a focus on American first policies. What sort of influence is that going to have on foreign investment flows into Africa, into emerging markets? I mean, are we going to see almost another rush of money into U.S. markets, or is there still hope for emerging markets?
Well, I think emerging markets have underperformed for a good number of years. I think the last 5 years, emerging markets have underperformed the developed markets, largely because of the U.S. performance. I don't see that changing in the short term. Mm-hmm. I think the mood in a number of countries is very much about nationalism. The globalization process that we went in for the last 20 years, I think it's being questioned. And that's not great for emerging markets because we need international flows to be coming into our markets. And this lack of globalization, I'm not convinced that it's going to be beneficial to us. We've thrived in a world that is interconnected. Mm-hmm. And when you start erecting trade barriers, etc., I think we'll end up being losers as emerging markets. And so I'm not that positive on that. I think the growth in nationalism, each country looking after its own people, particularly whether you're in Europe or in the US, which is really the mandate that the American people have given to Trump, which is America first, that's not great for any of us. And you're starting to see that play out.
Yeah, absolutely, even in the short couple of weeks. A last question, bringing it back to South Africa and what we can manage. Our grey listing has had significant implications for the economy, for the financial sector, such as yourselves. What do you think the most notable impacts we've seen? And do you think we can get off that grey listing this year? Have we made the progress that is required?
I don't think we're going to get off a grey listing for the next 12 to 18 months. We haven't made enough progress in addressing some of the fundamental issues that were raised. I mean, we're making progress, but we haven't gotten to a point where we can say we've ticked all the boxes, and therefore, if someone comes to mark our homework, they give us an A+. I think we're not there. There's still quite a few things that the task team that's working on that is working frantically to resolve, which is not great for us because we need a lot of money to come into South Africa. You know, the fundamental challenge that we need to solve in South Africa is growth. Where is growth going to come from? And what is the plan? And is that plan executable? And there is no ways that we can have a growth agenda that does not involve a massive inflow of capital to fund the infrastructure that underpins what we need for growth. And so, you know, these things like grey listing, et cetera, we've got to solve those things because those are niggles and frictional points which slow down the flow of capital into our economy and make us less attractive for people who want to invest money in it. We need a hell of a lot of investment in the next 5 years in order to break out of the low growth trap that we're in.
Yeah. And from growth, unemployment comes down, rates, everything. It's around that growth at the core. We'll leave it there. Derek Mcebe, Stanlib CEO, always appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Ask Derek there about grey listing. He was pessimistic of us getting off this year. What's your thinking? Can we get off that grey list this year? There is a meeting mid-year. Government and everyone else would love it. But can we? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Thoughts from me on managing the Trump volatility in markets, as Odwe mentioned a moment ago. We're only, Monday will be 3 weeks. This week, of course, extra crazy because of the proposed and then mostly cancelled tariffs. Some thoughts. I mean, Nick Kunz has said, don't call your broker. In other words, what he's saying is, don't panic. And he was spot on, right? If we had panicked on Monday, well, we would have been selling. And then 4 days later, here we are. Markets, ours, US markets, European markets, all looking to get back to all-time highs. So certainly, rule number one, don't be panic. Pietri Redenhuis, who we chatted to on Tuesday, said stay close to the exit. Pietri is very much more of a trader, and essentially he's saying, yeah, obey your trading rules. Know what your exit strategies are, where your stop loss is, where your take profit, if you have, is, and stick to it and absolutely keep to it. There might also be an argument, perhaps slightly smaller trade size because of increased volatility, but certainly stay close. I was on TV with Chantal Marx and David Shapiro during the week. David was saying, you know what, this is what markets do. We have seen this before. And David's got, I think he just tweeted, 53 years in markets. So he knows more than most of us what this is about. Chantal reminded us that this is, you know, we are long-term investors. Our investment horizon is decades. Trump's second term is 4 years. Now, we don't know who comes after Trump, but I mean, we need to remember that in many senses, this is noise. And in, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years' time when we're retiring, are we going to remember January, February 2025 and the volatility in the markets? Probably not. She did also say on air that she has got some extra cash ready and waiting because some of these sell-offs might give you opportunities in stocks that you don't always get at those prices. But the short answer from everyone is this is what markets do. Have your strategy, know what you're doing, and most of all, don't panic. That's it for today. I was chatting with Jimmy Moyaha yesterday around Sappi's first quarter results. Profits are up. CapEx is also up. And the stock market priced the stock down. We asked you, do you hold the stock? Two-thirds said no. Many of you saying you prefer others. Rest was split between two, it's just too cyclical. And some of you saying, yep, you are holding on. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again Monday. Beer Report.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.